I was tempted to say to more recent events, but in fact, of course, they are the issue of Kosovo predates many of the events that we talked about earlier. It gets tougher, too, to discuss conflicts that are not yet fully resolved. And I think we'll see that in the course of the next hour or so. Even though many of the issues that arise with respect to borders, minority rights, things of this sort are rather similar, it's a lot harder to see your way through to ultimate solutions. But our historians have been courageous in taking on Kosovo and ICTI, which is sort of contemporary history. And we're going to change the order of things, and I'm going to ask for Julie Mertis's presentation first. Julie has literally lost her voice. So we've asked John Christ of our fellowships program to be her voice for a few minutes and to read her presentation. John?
Thank you, Dan. Should I use the podium here? Or
just, as you like.
All right. Thank you all. You'll have to bear with me. I will serve as Professor Mertis's voice today, and I just received the script about 10 minutes ago, so it's not possible for me to give the depth of insight that comes from the many years that Professor Mertis has been working in the former Yugoslavia and on this report that you know about, but I'll do my best, and we'll hopefully make a contribution to your important discussions today. Let's...
So pretend like he's me.
That'll be quite a distinction to make, I'm sure. But let's see. Let me first say something about the scholars' dialogue. Professor Mertis's impression or conception of the scholars' dialogue is that it's all about listening. It's listening to contending histories, to all kinds of histories. History as myth, history as experience, and history as factual truth. The scholars' dialogue, however, seeks to move beyond listening and to link what is heard to action. And on a micro level, the dialogue has a specific goal. For example, in the study of the ICTY, she and the other researchers sought to draw conclusions that might inform future international courts. On the broader macro level, however, the dialogue's goals were much grander. For the American participants, the dialogue it was one way to struggle against the anti-intellectual attitude that prevails in U.S. politics. As I gather Charlie pointed out earlier, to be in politics these days in the U.S., one must actually distance oneself from academia. This contrasts sharply with the goal for the participants in the former Yugoslavia. The goal was entirely different. The former Yugoslavia has a long tradition of direct involvement of intellectuals in public discourse and politics. So that clearly was not the goal with the participants from the former Yugoslavia. The goal was, as Professor Roksandic put it, to improve communication between scholars in all parts of the former Yugoslavia, to bring scholars together and to promote an effective form of scholarly communication. Now, in her estimation of the process of the report, there was one particular goal that was not met as well as the authors had intended, and that was the goal of including all of the participants and local voices, pardon me, including local voices from the former Yugoslavia in the process of the report and in the pages of the final report. Why didn't this happen? Well, there were several key reasons. One, researchers had their own projects, and they were tremendously overworked. Secondly, the amount of money that was available for researchers in the region was insufficient, particularly given the fact that they were also committed on other projects. And finally, researchers were hesitant to join in on the project that was already well underway. I think the authors of the report were all very sensitive to these concerns, and with respect to the ICTY, the research questions were actually quite narrow. What were the public attitudes towards the ICTY? How have they changed over time, and why? I keep reminding new researchers, she says, of the report that it is not a history of the ICTY or an analysis of the use of history before the ICTY. Those are all interesting questions, but it's not really the heart of the study. It is within that narrow mandate that we hope to generate dialogue and to make a contribution. I have been.
Now he's really pretending like he's me.
Now I am really in the. Yes, I am. I will try to. It's hard to go back and forth between the first person and the third person here, but let me quote Dr. Mertes and say that. The final part of her report is really the recounting of a dream. And she says that she's, I have been dreaming of the scholars' dialogue. And the dream goes something like this. Historians are sitting around a table discussing and exchanging the horrors that they have studied. Or that they have been a part of. And they are saying to each other, you've committed genocide against us. Well, and exchanging and fighting across the table, exchanging accusations about who is responsible for the genocide and who the guilty are. In the midst of the discussion, a young Greek woman tries her best at conflict resolution and breaks through with the bold statement that truth is in the middle, she says. Suddenly the room goes very quiet. The historians are all in agreement. And truth, one of them says, truth is not a loaf of bread that you split. Truth is in the middle, not...
Truth is never in the middle.
Here, why don't I can't read this. I've just ruined the punchline, I'm afraid.
A truth in the middle is never never truth. The woman is exasperated.
Truth in the middle is never truth. The woman is exasperated because she's unable to convince them of her point, but you will never agree. Maybe not, the historians agree, but we are here and we are listening, and that is the beginning of the dialogue within this process. You're going to have to forgive me for the broken account, but you do have the paper in front of you, and I hope that that will give a better voice.
It's a testament to Charlie that I made it here because of his 15,000 emails.
What Julie just said is a testament to Charlie that she's been able to get here and a testament to his 15,000 emails. Actually, I think there were more than 15,000, but that's okay. We appreciate...
Well, that was 12,000 earlier on.
We appreciate Julie's being here. We're sorry she can't speak out. I've never known Julie Mertes not to be able to speak out for herself. It's an unusual circumstance. She's going to be listening.